Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Economics 101 From Consumer Behavior to Competitive Markets is an introductory economics guide in the Adams 101 series, written for readers who want a clear entry point into how economic systems work without being buried in technical theory. Although it is often associated with Alfred Mill, the broader public listings and later editions are also tied to Michele Kagan, reflecting the book's series-based, approachable style. The book is designed as a compact primer rather than a scholarly textbook, and its purpose is to make foundational ideas understandable for beginners, students, and self-learners. It covers the logic of consumer choice, market coordination, competition, and the behavior of firms and institutions, while also introducing topics such as game theory, inflation, monopolies, oligopolies, price controls, and quantitative easing. Its emphasis is practical. Readers are shown how economics connects to everyday decisions, market structures, and public policy rather than abstract modeling alone. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, consumer choice as the starting point for economic reasoning. The book begins with consumer behavior because that is where economics becomes most intuitive. Rather than treating the economy as an abstract system, it shows how scarcity, preferences, and trade-offs shape ordinary decisions about spending, saving, and value. This framing helps beginners understand why marginal utility matters and why small changes in price or income can alter demand. The point is not simply that consumers buy things, but that their choices reveal how resources are allocated across the economy. By grounding the subject in personal decision-making, the book creates a bridge between everyday experience and formal economic concepts. That approach also makes later topics easier to follow, since market outcomes depend on the aggregation of individual choices. In this sense, consumer behavior is not a side topic, but the foundation on which supply, demand, and competition are built. Secondly, how markets coordinate supply, demand, and competition. A central theme of the book is the competitive market as a coordination mechanism. It explains how prices help balance supply and demand by signaling where goods are scarce, where demand is strong, and where production should expand or contract. This is a key neoclassical idea. Markets are treated as systems that organize information through price rather than through central control. The book uses this perspective to show why competition matters, how firms respond to market pressure, and why resource allocation becomes more efficient when buyers and sellers can react freely. At the same time, it does not present markets as perfect. By including monopolies, oligopolies, and price ceilings, the book shows that market outcomes depend on structure and policy. This gives readers a practical understanding of when competitive forces work well and when they can be distorted by power, regulation, or limited rivalry. Thirdly, using game theory to explain strategic economic behavior. Game theory is one of the book's most useful additions because it shows that economics is not only about isolated decisions, but also about strategic interaction. In many real situations, the result depends on what others are expected to do, whether those others are consumers, firms, or governments. The book introduces this idea in a beginner-friendly way, helping readers see why pricing, advertising, cooperation, and rivalry cannot always be understood with simple supply and demand logic alone. Game theory adds a layer of realism by showing that decision makers anticipate reactions and adjust accordingly. This is especially important in competitive markets, where one firm's choice can change another firm's outcome. By including this material in an introductory text, the book widens the reader's view of economics from static models to strategic thinking. It also prepares readers to understand business competition and policy dilemmas more clearly. Fourthly, money, banking, and quantitative easing as practical macroeconomic topics. The book does not stay limited to household choices and firm competition. It also introduces readers to basic monetary and banking concepts, including how banks create money, the origins of banking, inflation, and quantitative easing. These topics matter because they connect everyday finance to the larger machinery of the economy. For beginners, one of the most valuable aspects of the book is that it demystifies banking as an institution rather than treating money as something fixed and simple. By explaining how credit systems operate and why monetary policy matters, the book helps readers understand how governments and central banks influence activity, prices, and liquidity. Inflation and quantitative easing are especially important because they show how macroeconomic conditions affect purchasing power and market stability. This section makes the book broader than a standard microeconomics primer and gives readers a basic vocabulary for discussing modern economic policy. Lastly, an accessible survey of market structures and policy limits. The book stands out for combining market theory with a clear introduction to imperfect competition and policy intervention. Concepts such as monopolies, oligopolies, and price ceilings show that not all markets operate under ideal competitive conditions. This matters because many economic debates depend on whether a market is competitive enough to produce efficient outcomes or whether firms hold too much power. The book also introduces the idea that policy can either correct or distort market behavior, depending on how it is used. That makes it useful for readers trying to interpret real-world economic events without advanced training. Instead of overwhelming the reader with equations, it focuses on understanding the logic behind market failures, strategic behavior, and intervention. This balanced presentation is one of the book's main strengths. It gives beginners a usable framework for interpreting both free market outcomes and government responses without requiring prior technical knowledge. In conclusion, Economics 101, From Consumer Behavior to Competitive Markets, is best suited for beginners, students taking an introductory course, and general readers who want a readable foundation in economics without the density of a traditional textbook. Its main value lies in accessibility. It translates core ideas such as consumer choice, market competition, game theory, inflation, and banking into a format that is easier to navigate than most academic introductions. Readers who want a broad orientation to the subject will benefit most, especially if they need a study companion or a first pass before moving into more advanced economics texts. What differentiates this book from similar titles is its strong emphasis on practical explanation and its refusal to linger in technical detail. Instead of presenting economics as a purely mathematical discipline, it frames it as a study of how people, firms, and institutions make choices under scarcity. That balance between clarity, breadth, and real-world relevance makes it a useful entry point into the field. If you would like to support Alfred Mill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.